For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Only three Buckeyes on the men's side have reached the 2,000-point career milestone, and Bruce Thornton is one of them. His 28 last night powered Ohio State to a quad one win over number 24 Wisconsin, 86-69 at the shot. Three other Buckeyes were in double figures, including Devin Royal, who poured in 25. With the win, OSU improves to 1-6 against AP top 25 teams. They'll play at number 15 Michigan State Sunday at 1. The Spartans crushed UCLA 82-59 on Tuesday at the Breslin Center. Elsewhere in the top 25, number 22 Miami of Ohio improved to 26-0 with an 86-77 win at UMass. The Redhawks host Bowling Green on Friday. On the court tonight at 8, the 10th-ranked Ohio State women's squad's at Minnesota. Hear it on the Fan with coverage following the Inside Edge. Zach Werenski and the USA men's hockey team has Sweden today in the Olympic quarterfinals. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero from now until March 31st. Buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Well, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging. And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
And we're still live on a First Friday Miracle Edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Loaded up on a First Friday. Ben Baby, ESPN, going to join us at 9:45. Jake Trotter at 10:30. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 11 o'clock. We will handle those. And, of course, you're officially endorsed at 11:30. A massive win for the Buckeye basketball team. Probably their best performance of the season. And they looked great, by the way. We will get to that in just a second. Big USA hockey game coming up this afternoon, 3:10 in the quarterfinals against Sweden. We'll get into that a little bit as the program goes along as well. I was out in California, flew out there Friday with the fam, and took advantage of the long weekend. The boys randomly were off Friday too, so what should have been just a 3-day weekend became a 4, and then we stretched it into a 5-er on the flight back on Tuesday. It was lovely. Weather was spectacular. 72, between 70, 72. We were in the desert, Palm Desert area, flying to Palm Springs for that. And weather was perfect. Golf was incredible. Sun shining every day. Had a little bit of rain on Monday, but that was about it. And the one thing I worry about is it's a bit of a tight window for that much travel. It's a connecting flight. It's two and a half hour flights is kind of what you're looking through. We went through Dallas. So it's about 2.5 to Dallas and then 2.5 to Palm Springs. And so then you got to make all of those things work. And so on the way out there, it was smooth, really, really clean, easy connections, nothing to see here. Yesterday on the flight back, we were supposed to fly out of Palm Springs at 12:56, getting in at 10:45 or something like that, around there, in about an hour and 15 minutes on the connect time. And the airlines, they're up to something. So yesterday around 9 a.m., I got a notification that the incoming flight, the plane that we were on, was delayed. And so right away, they added 20 minutes to departure. So instead of 12:56, it was now 1:20 was now departure. Okay, well, that takes 20 minutes off of things. That's going to make it a little dicey. So a veteran of getting just jobbed by the airlines over and over, as I have many, many times and have lamented on this program through the years, I know what's coming. I know 20 minutes isn't the end of it. If it's 20 minutes at 9 a.m., my hunch is we're going to be an hour late by the time we actually take off. So at this point, I text Fish, hey, have a contingency. Who knows what's going to happen here? We'll see. I don't know if I'll be able to make connection. We were on the last flight out of Dallas on the way back in, so I knew that if we missed that flight, we're done. And so 120 becomes 140 as the morning goes along and eventually becomes 150. Okay, so now we're a full hour late, and now the connection time in Dallas is roughly 15 minutes. But that's deceiving, because when they say that a flight is supposed to take off at 7:04, they actually close the boarding gates around 6:50 is usually what it works. It's 10, 15 minutes, and they close the boarding gates, and then you can't get on the plane anyway, even if you're before your departure. So really, you have now a 10-minute window. So now I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm seeing, okay, from E to D in Dallas is a 12-minute walk slash tram ride, and I'm trying to do all of this. And I've been really on this since 9 a.m. in the morning is how long I've been thinking about how all of this is going to go. So we get to the airport in Palm Springs, and they do something that I've never seen before. They moved up the departure time. So rather than adding minutes to it, they took 15 minutes off. Now, I've never seen this before.
Almost equally terrifying?
Yeah. Yeah, Reese. A little bit. Wait a second. This is a new game we're playing. Now we're going to take time off. Okay, so now we're getting closer to back to normal. So incoming plane lands. Deboard it. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Okay, fine. Get us on. Get us up. Get on the plane. We're loaded. Boarding gates closed. We take off around 1:42. Pilot gets on the PA. We get a good headwind. We're going to do this in under 2 hours. We are? We're going to shave 50 minutes off this flight in the air? We can just do this now anytime we want? We can catch up? Sure enough, we're cruising. But I'm still thinking to myself, there's no way this is all going to work. So sure enough, we get there in 2 hours, land on the tarmac in Dallas. And now I'm thinking, okay, they wanted the gate ready. Oh no, gate was ready. Drove us right up. And now I'm thinking, well, there's going to be some problem. There were no problems. And in fact, not only did we make our connection with plenty of time, my wife had plenty of time to get Chick-fil-A for the kids, because of course, if you didn't have Chick-fil-A before you got on, they wouldn't make it. So that it's those 2 hours without the Chick-fil-A, that's going to undo it.
And that airport Chick-fil-A, extra couple bucks in there.
The airport Chick-fil-A, all of a sudden, for like four 10-piece nuggets and four bottled waters is $108.60. That's what you're looking at on that. Now, you can go to Chick-fil-A anywhere else. Pick one up at Sawmill, anywhere you got yourself a Chick-fil-A, and you're going to be out of there in $36. But at the airport, $108.80 is what you're looking at on that.
But it's so good.
Yeah, they had to have it. I mean, if they didn't have it, they wouldn't be able to get... How could you possibly go 2 hours without eating? So get on the plane. And then sure enough, the flight from Dallas home, they shaved another 30 minutes off that. We actually got in upward like 35 minutes sooner than we're supposed to. But the real the revelation to me, I've never seen them take time off. Once they put time on, I always thought that's it. This is the soonest you're going. But they actually took the time off. And we actually got on pretty close. I mean, it was about a half hour, 35 minutes from the original departure. I've never seen it before. Great job, American. Great job out of you catching up.
So would you say your overall experience positive?
It's great.
All
well,
right.
Well, it's great because you're expecting it's a good question. Because you're expecting the worst. So you basically took 2 years off my life of stress, worried about rebooking five people and all the things that I got. BMC's in tears. I don't want to stay in Dallas, Dad. I go, dude, we'll be all right. It'll be a fine hotel. We'll sort it out.
So, Bo, interesting thing. When we came back from St. Louis at the end of January, we flew to Dallas. And yep. The same thing happened. Now, there wasn't a huge discrepancy in the time, but we were waiting on a flight to come in from Vegas. And yep. Then we were going to get on that plane and head to Columbus. And the same thing happened. We were supposed to get on, I don't know, at like 12:56, let's say. Right. And they bumped it back to like 1:26.
Okay.
And then they moved it back up to like 1:15 because the flight was landing earlier than they thought it was going to.
This is all new. I mean, I've flown a lot. I've never seen them once they, usually in the old days, once they set, this is your delayed time, I've never seen that come in under. So I think my theory is they're doing it. It's a mind game to give you relief that you're somehow winning.
Make you feel like it was an overall positive experience.
That's what I think.
That could be. I think they have also, they have had so much trouble with air traffic, I believe, yes, since COVID. Everything has been crazy, and they've changed all of their cleaning routines and stuff, that I think they have dealt with this so much. Like, we were getting off the plane in Columbus that Sunday night, and literally they were in the way cleaning the plane. Like, people were empty in rows and they were in there, and like, you couldn't get off the plane because they were in the I think they've just had so much experience with this now that they realized maybe there's a little more efficient way, or they just don't care about making sure the plane is as sanitized as usual, and boom, boom, boom.
Let's just get them. We got to get going here. We did have the, this was always my favorite, is when they get on the PA and they go, we have a bunch of people, especially in the back of the plane, who have tight connections. If you do not have a connection, I just ask that you stay seated so that those folks can get off and get to their planes. And then as soon as they say that, 86% of the people all have tight connections and all stand up. And you know that they're not. You know, I mean, you know that. And so as we were ones who did have a relatively tight connection, it was less than 20 minutes. And so as we were going out, I was thanking people that did stay, the 12% that did stay in their seats. I was thankful for them. So back, excited to be back. It is a Hey Guys First Friday edition of the program. We've got a Buckeye basketball game to discuss, and it was one that they needed desperately. Some history made for Bruce Thornton as well. Probably their best performance of the year. Is it a harbinger of things to come? We will get into that coming up next. We're off and running on a First Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered shower chances wrap up as we head into the afternoon. Otherwise, skies become mostly sunny with highs in the mid to low 60s and gusty winds. Increasing clouds tonight with our lows in the 40s. And then for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 60s. We see chances of rain and storms develop as we head into the evening. And the best chance will be late overnight into early Friday. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead.
Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
You know, you could argue, I suppose, both sides of it. If this Ohio State basketball team makes the NCAA tournament, is it good for the program? If they miss the NCAA basketball tournament, is it devastating for the program? And I would say on both of those instances, yeah, it'd be fine. It'd be good to make it. But if you just scratch in and find yourself in and you're one and done or whatever, does that change the trajectory of the program? No, probably not. If you miss the tournament barely or somehow get to the NIT, although they'd probably bail on that. I don't think people do that anymore because you can't get guys to play. But if they were to just miss the tournament, is that devastating for the program in year two of Jake Diebler? No, probably not. It's probably not the end of the world, but there is one thing and one player who I do think it is massive for, and I do think that it is critical that he gets in because there's legacy in play here. Bruce Thornton moved into third on Ohio State's all-time scoring list last night, 2,005 points. He passed William Buford and a guy named Jerry Lucas on that list last night. He's 6 points away from tying Herb Williams, so he will get that, second most of all time, and just needs 92 to break Dennis Hobson's school record for career points. Here's a little bit of a teaser. He's going to get there. He's going to get there. He's going to be the all-time leading scorer in the history of Ohio State basketball. And I do think it's important that he sees March and that he sees the big dance. I do think it's important for legacy. I think it's important for his time while he was here. I think when you look back on him, you will look back more fondly, even if they just get in once. Because if you don't, even if it's one game and you're out, if you're one and bounced, the alternative is that scarlet letter on your resume that you never played in March. And it will be something that's mentioned every time you talk about all-time leading scorer in the history of the program. Fair or not, that's going to be the reality of it, that he put up big stats on teams that were not teams of consequence at the, in the program. Is it on him? No, no. But he's been the face of the program over the last 4 years as a transition from Holtman to Diebler. So when you have a performance like the one you had last night, where he damn near gets a triple-double, 27, 9, and 8, and they send a message right away that they were the better team, that there was a focus, that there was a purpose, and to annihilate a ranked team in the Big Ten, something they had not done yet, that's an attention-getter. And that tells me that they're inching closer to delivering on that for Bruce. And he was obviously the best player on the court last night. But I do think it's big for him. And I think last night was a massive step that was desperately needed after what happened over the weekend down in Nashville against Virginia.
So Michigan's only got one loss on the season. They handled the seventh-ranked Purdue Boilermakers last night. Wisconsin gave Michigan that loss. And so to see Bruce, the Bruce stat line you just read is not surprising to me because it figures he'll get that every single night.
Yeah.
But when you saw Saturday at Virginia, it felt like he was, and he's never going to say this because he is really the consummate leader, help me! And he got help in a huge way from several different players last night. That Devin Royal, I've said this, you get that Devin Royal, you're a 20-win team.
Yeah.
Assuming John Mobley is healthy and able to give you 15 a game as well.
If you got a third of that Devin Royal Saturday, you beat Virginia. But you got none of that Devin Royal Saturday against Virginia. Devin said he was in the gym every day at 4 a.m. after that Virginia loss. Earlier this year, we heard John Mobley Jr. working at 5 a.m. in the gym. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what all these guys need to do right now. Do you want to get to the tournament, and do you want to be a good basketball team or not? Maybe that's what all you guys should be doing all the time if you want to get there, because we've heard it, and then John Mobley took off. We heard it this week with Royal, and then he had a great game. You're not going to shoot 52% from three.
No.
All the time, which is what you did last night. You're not going to shoot 54% from the field all the time. But they did do some things in that game defensively where there was some more effort, it seemed like. It seemed like there was more effort on the glass and rebounding last night. And those are some things that can travel for you. The last time you played Wisconsin, they scored 92.
Mm-hmm.
This time they scored 69. This is a Wisconsin team that just beat the brakes off of Michigan State mm-hmm. earlier this week and beat Illinois before that. And as you mentioned, Reese has handed Michigan their one loss on the season. So that's a Wisconsin team. There's obviously ups and downs with them too, but the ups are really, really high with this Wisconsin team. That's a huge win last night for this Buckeye basketball team. Whatever the reason was that they decided to come out and play, whether it's criticism of their coach,
it was this station,
whether it's criticism of them, whether it's, hey, our backs are against the wall, whatever it was, let's duplicate that effort moving forward.
Yeah, and the unfortunately, because of what happened over the weekend against Virginia, it was a must win. I mean, you could ill afford to lose again to a ranked team this time at home. Couldn't afford it. And they've alternated wins and losses going all the way back to Minnesota.
Beat
Minnesota.
Stop that.
You got to stop it, man. You got win at Minnesota 82 to, against Minnesota here, 82-74. Lose at Michigan, 74-62. Beat Penn State. Lose to Wisconsin. Beat Maryland. Lose to Michigan. Beat USC. Lose to Virginia. Beat Wisconsin. Now you're at Michigan State in 4 days. Sunday, 1 o'clock, right? That's a tough one. 15th ranked Sparty at the you know, at the Breslin, which is going to be a full day. So if that one doesn't go well, then you're at Iowa. So then that's got to be. This isn't enough. This is the rest of the schedule. At Michigan State, at Iowa, Purdue at home, at Penn State, Indiana. Those are the five. I think you got to go 3-2 in those five to feel good about things going into the Big Ten tournament. Minimum.
And we've lamented
you got to go 3-2.
The depth, the bench production from this team. I know Gabe Cupps didn't really register anything on the stat sheet, but defensively, him and Ivan Yagovin, who scored points last night, were great and giving guys a spell because your depth really gets tested. It was tested at the beginning of the season just with the roster, but then you get injuries to Junie Mobley and Brandon Knoll, and then it gets tested even more. And what those guys were able to provide you in moments yesterday against Wisconsin, I think really, really helped. What probably didn't, and I don't know this, but like an 8:30 tip that goes closer to 9. Yeah. Guys, what are we doing?
Yeah, it just sucks. They're done no favors by this. None of the men's basketball has done a favor by what's happened with the schedule.
Bo, when we got into this segment, you talked about you weren't sure if it made that much of a difference for this team if they made the tournament or didn't make the tournament.
Yeah.
And I'll push back on that a little. And I'll be honest, I don't care about Bruce's legacy.
Okay.
I mean, I really don't. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Did he steal your girlfriend or something? Do you not like him personally?
No, I'm just saying, like, if he makes this tournament or not, it doesn't change that much for me and my feelings towards him. But I do think it's important. I believe Devin Royal will be back next year. I think they're going to retain him.
Yeah.
Amari Bynum is going to be back next year. John Mobley Jr. Right. is probably going to be back next year. And I just think that experience alone for those guys, it's critical for them if you want to try to turn this thing around. We talked to Scoony Pinn yesterday, and he talked about you got to have an attitude and a mindset. Like, there's no way I'm going to lose.
Right.
You know, I'm going to get there no matter what. And I think when you get there, that helps. And then the other thing I think it helps with is just the feeling around the program right now. How much have we talked this year about they haven't made the tournament in 3 years? They don't make it this year. It's going to be 4 years in a row. And I just think all of that negativity surrounding the program, it will help if they can get into the tournament and help some of that go away and maybe take a little of the pressure off of Jake Diebler as well.
I think that's fair. I guess where I'm going with that is, I don't know that if they miss it, it changes the way I view them for next year. Like, if they miss it, if they're somehow bubble out, I don't think it's going to be like, that's not going to change the way I view them for next year, because college basketball changes so much now, year to year. The guys who you assume are back, and I assume they're back too, Bake, but we don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean,
probably need raises.
Yeah. I mean, Cody McMahon scored 39 points last night for Ole Miss.
She had a game.
I didn't think for a second she would not finish her career here. She's a Centerville girl. I mean, I just assumed she'd be here and finish the career. So there are no guarantees, and it's a year-to-year basis. So I guess what I'm saying is, if they miss it, it's not like it's going to change the way I view that team next year. I think it would do them good. Everything you said, I agree with. Would it do Devin Royal good? Would it do John Mobley good? Amari Bynum good to play in the tournament and see all of it, and maybe that will fuel an offseason? Sure, of course. But the real one for me, it is the Bruce part of it. And it's not so much that I necessarily care about legacy in terms of how I view him, more from the perspective of, if he doesn't, it will be something that is brought up only always.
So I love
if
Bruce
he doesn't
Thornton.
Get in.
Bruce, I care about your legacy, unlike these other two curmudgeony, you know, curmudgeony hater. Are we sure that if Ohio State, they're going to make the tournament, we'll speak it into existence, they're going to be bubble in, but aren't Big Ten teams not in the NCAA tournament contractually obligated to do that college basketball crown thing?
No, I don't think so, Reese, because didn't we have teams bail on it?
I can't remember if they changed that ruling because of that last year or what.
Because remember what happens, they go straight into like negotiating contracts.
So yeah, if I believe I have this right, if you're going to play in the postseason, you have to play in that if you're one of the next two or three, whatever it is. So if you are a team that's supposed to play in the CBT, I believe it is, or whatever, you have to play in that. Like, you can't skip that and go to the NIT. So if you forfeit that invitation, you're not going to the postseason at all.
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll see. Hopefully we don't have to worry about it. Just get into the tournament. I think if they go 3-2, win at least a game in the Big Ten, might need two. If you do that, then I think you're going to feel pretty good about things, and I think they got a win that they had to have. Go ahead,
Bo. What if we find a booster judge out there that can give Bruce another year of eligibility?
Baby.
Why not, right?
We're going to open that can of worms as I'm trying to do a two-minute break.
Shout out to Franklin County judges. We love you.
You're choosing Trinidad Chambliss violence, and I got a two-minute break that I'm late for?
Bruce hasn't played in the pros yet.
Woof. Yeah, we can dig in on that. Mick Cronin had himself a press conference last night, too. In addition to that, Jake on a big-time win from last night for this basketball team, and hopefully it propels them over the next couple of weeks. That's in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And Zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. The Buckeyes with a massive win last night, 86-69. It's showing the, we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with Jake Deebs and thoughts of Devin Royal responding in a very, very big way after a down game against Virginia.
Well, his work has been consistent, but he doubled down on it. But I think what gave me great confidence is he said, he's like, Coach, I got you. Like, I got this. And he took some ownership and, you know, studied the tape. And so he's responded when he's had games where maybe he hasn't been his best. So I believed him. And I know, you know, what he's made of. So I didn't know he was going to hit four threes, but, you know, I'm optimistic in general. So I just felt like it was a matter of time before he knocked down a couple. And then I think, you know, he took really good ones. We were able to get him some looks around the rim early, which was important. Tried to get him going. So yeah, he was, his approach and mentality and holding himself accountable leading into this game was really impressive as a leader. And I think a big reason, including the work, because it's not like he wasn't working right during that time, but I think coupled together, it was a big reason why he had to turn around.
Did you guys get an update on, you know, some sort of a timeline for John, for Mobley?
They hope to have him back by the end of the regular season. But Ted Carter was the first that I had seen where he broke the pinky finger on his shooting hand.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Like Top Gun Ted?
Like old Slapshot.
With Dom.
With Dom. Yeah.
Wait. I mean, you miss a little, you miss a lot.
It was just reported as a hand injury and then
broken pinky.
And Teddy just comes on and says, oh, yeah, a little break in his little finger on his shooting hand.
Like, I looked last night and they showed him on the bench and it was taped to his ring finger. They had his hand taped with those two together. And then on the broadcast last night, it had hand surgery. It said it missed games with hand surgery. So
I love the idea that, you know, Jake and all the great Gary, all the great folks who handle the, you know, the messaging of the program, all of that, like you're all locked in. Then all of a sudden Top Gun Ted comes on with Dom and says, this is what it is. Here's your injury. It's right there. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good on that. All right. So end of the regular season for him. Right now, Buckeyes bracketology wise seem to be consensus among the first four out is usually where most people have them. And this is going to be the dialogue every single game they play from here on out. Are they in or are they out? Because this is just where Buckeye basketball has been for a long time. Bubble in, bubble out. We've been in this world for, it feels like, a long, long time. It's something, though, that Jake has to keep away from his team. Here he is on tournament talk and just trying to stay locked in.
Yeah, I think this time of year, I've been around college basketball for a long time, so you're aware of, you know, the importance of every game. I think you can get caught up in that stuff too much because at the end of the day, no one really knows. Right, until this stuff plays out. So I want our guys focused on the task at hand. That's what we're doing as a staff. We got to prepare our guys as well as we possibly can to have a great practice and then, you know, prepare as well as we possibly can to have a great game. And so with the way our schedule plays out and the reality of where we are, like we've got so many opportunities, you know, and who knows how many you need, how many you don't. Like it eventually, at the end of the day, will matter. But if we're on an emotional roller coaster game to game, that's not the healthiest thing for us to perform at our best.
So as I mentioned, most of the stuff I'm looking at shows bubble out as they stand right now. But
obviously that's a lot of that was done before last night's win. You're smack dab in the middle of the Big Ten standings. You're sitting there at 9-6 in the league. You're in a log jam with Iowa and UCLA. You have the exact same record as UCLA, 9-6 in the league, 17-9 overall. Both have one win against the AP top 25 now. Ohio State can join that club. You're two games back over all of Iowa and have the exact same record in the league. Now just a half game back or just a full game back of Wisconsin for the league. So that was a massive win last night, and you need to stack more and more and more of them going down the line. The rest of the schedule, we went over it at Michigan State on Sunday. That's at 1 o'clock. Next Wednesday at Iowa, then Purdue the following Sunday, then at Penn State the following Wednesday, and then Senior Day will be March 7th against Indiana. A 5:30 tip?
Yeah, these times. One of them's a Peacock-only production, and it's just like, let's not do any of that. That's the Penn State game. 5:30, the Indiana game's on Fox.
Wow. So interesting.
You had Benetti and I think Bill Raftery on the call last night, which was a lot of fun.
One thing about modern air travel, like the ability to watch live sports, is pretty cool. Like that's to just, you know, in the app and then away you go. That was nice to be able to watch a little bit of that last night, to hear those guys. But very ambitious. You guys with me? 3-2 over that 5-2 wins in the Big Ten tournament. So that would get you to the quarterfinal probably.
Yeah.
Is that, to me, that's the sweet spot.
I think it'll do it. Last night, Ohio State went into the shot 0-6 against teams in the AP top 25. And so getting that win against Wisconsin helps. I think if you can stack another win against a team with a number next to it and then win the games that you're supposed to, you got a lot of help last night in terms of your seeding, not only in the Big Ten, but with other teams that are playing this kind of bubblicious life the next couple of weeks. It was real. You've given more opportunity. And so what you do with that's going to be really important starting Sunday.
I think if you go 3-2 and one of those three is Michigan State or Purdue, I don't even know if you need the Big Ten
Michigan
tournament.
Michigan State might get you in.
I think you're in.
I don't think you can go 1-done in the Big Ten tournament. We've seen that before.
You'd be 20-12 then with a win over one of those two and your Wisconsin win now. I don't know. I think that would be fresh in the mind of the selection committee.
You're saying
if they beat Michigan State or they beat Purdue, one of those two.
I like Purdue more because that's Sunday. That's at home on a Sunday, closer to Selection Sunday. You're a week. I think that I might be able to get with you there on that one. So we'll see. One of the teams you're going to be dealing with is UCLA, and Mick Cronin is just such a jerk. He's such a jerk. I'm almost convinced he wants to be fired by UCLA. It appears that he hates it. They lose last night. They got bombed 82-59 at Breslin against Michigan State. They have as I mentioned, the exact same record as the Buckeyes. He actually ejected his own player from the game. He did. Not the crew. He ejected him. Let's hear from that first.
Here's the finger toss and everything.
Yeah, go. Kindly leave. Go ahead. Play that one.
True toughness is on how you compete and how you go to work every day. Steve's a good kid. He made a bad decision. If you want to be a tough guy, you need to do it during the game for a block out, for a rebound. So I was thoroughly disappointed. Guy was defenseless in the air. I know Steve was trying to block the shot, but you don't. The game's a 25-point game. You don't do that. So
now, this leads to a series of questions about the student section at Michigan State.
What was your thought to the student section chanting Booker's name?
I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
It's about
I would like to give you kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of the...
You really think I care about the other team's
student section? No, I don't think you care about the other
team. Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm
just... Yeah, you are. Come on, dude.
No reason.
Come on, dude. Yes, you are. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody. This is on camera. They can hear you. I answered the question. I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section. I coach UCLA. I don't care about Michigan State students. I mean, who cares?
Are you raising your voice at me, dude?
That's how adults should talk with each other.
You can't tell me this guy wants to coach UCLA. You can't tell me he does. I think he's miserable. I don't know how you could be miserable in Brentwood, but I think he is.
Well, he's definitely... I mean, you're not Dan Hurley. You're not winning right now. So this act wears thin real quick when you're not winning, especially there.
No. Can you imagine? Like, how many people even are on that beat anyway? Like, does the LA Times staff somebody to go to every UCLA basketball game? I can't imagine it. Does the Athletic staff somebody to go to every UCLA basketball game? I mean, what's the beat? Isn't this the one where a couple of weeks ago he was at Minnesota or something? There was nobody there to cover him? And he's that pissed off about it? I'll tell you what, one thing that is, we're in year two of this thing with these West Coast teams. Next year, bet the under on their win totals. UCLA is the best of the lot. They're 9-6, 17-9 overall. Washington is 5-10 in the league, 13-13 overall. The Oregon Ducks are 2-13 in the league, 9-17 overall. USC is 7-7 in the league, 18-7. Pay attention to those over-unders next year. We will on those four West Coast teams, win totals, futures. Bet the under. Bet the under on all of them. It just, this travel is just decimating those programs. There's no question that it is. One other thing I did want to mention, Miami, Ohio, still undefeated. They are 26-0 after an 86-77 win against UMass last night. That is a school record. 26 wins in the regular season. They should win out. They have a game down at your place at the end of the season.
Easy.
Reese,
I know. There's one more battle, one more opportunity for the Bobcats to get them.
That was really cool on Friday, by the way. Like big ESPN. That was cool.
Very cool. And Bo, they faced some adversity last night. Mm-hmm. UMass came back and took the lead with under 9 minutes left in that game.
Yep.
And then they pulled away at the end. That's a fun basketball team to watch.
Yeah, they're the leading scorer in the country, like 92 a game. And I've seen more people get on board with this. If they go undefeated into the MAC tournament, they're getting in. So that will be a two-bid league.
Should.
If they can get to the MAC tournament undefeated, they'll get there. All right, Ben Baby coming up next. Previews the Bengals as they head to the NFL Scouting Combine next week. That is coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Men, we all know.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tyvus.
What would you sacrifice to get a Zaxby's in Columbus?
Man.
The chicken place.
My family.
T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
It's Timmy Hall here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
NFL Scouting Combine next week over in Indianapolis. We will be over there. Ben Baby will be over there as well. Great friend of the program covering the Bengals at ESPN. He joins on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Buddy, if I were to tell you in July that one coach would remain in the AFC North after this year, and that coach would be Zach Taylor, you would have said what?
Well, I'd be pretty surprised given how really just the whole thing shakes out, because I think what the more stunning thing than I think than Zach Taylor being able to survive the 6-1 season is that all three other teams in the division ended up making changes mm-hmm. to dismiss their coaches. Mike Tomlin parted ways with the Steelers amicably, I believe, but you know, I think that there is a big bet the Bengals are making here that they can stand pat, that they feel like they have good processes, and that they'll be able to weather, you know, the last couple of years and really rebound in 26. And the other teams are all banking on saying, listen, we feel like what we're doing isn't working. Let's try to bring something new. what approach is going to work. I think this is going to have big ramifications for all of these franchises in the next few years.
Buddy, I think that this Bengals operation heading into this offseason has as much pressure on it as any in the league. I really do. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I just look at Burrow and I see the clock ticking, and I think about what they were when they got to the Super Bowl, which is now getting a ways in the rear view. Where does that sit with you in terms of the pressure of this offseason for the front office and ownership?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Bo. And I think what's interesting about this whole situation is that this feels like years and maybe decades of pressure kind of building. Because before Burrow got to Cincinnati, remember, let's go back to 2020, and everyone wondered, should Joe Burrow go to Cincinnati? Is that a place where you can be successful? You had Carson Palmer saying a lot of things in the media about his time in Cincinnati and what it was like. And I think that there have always been questions of, is this franchise good enough to support a quarterback of that caliber? And, you know, they had some success early in his tenure there in Cincinnati. But now, over these last few years, after not making the playoffs, you're hearing these questions come back around. And really, there's no other franchise where it's talked about their quarterback and the rest of the organization in that way. And that, is this organization really good enough? We saw a little bit of it last year with Caleb Williams in Chicago. But having that be so front-facing as part of the discussion makes it so fascinating. How do Duke Tobin, Zach Taylor, Katie Blackburn deal with that kind of pressure? That's going to be telling over these next few weeks.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because, you know, they did all of it. They kept Chase. They kept Higgins. They brought Trey back for another year, and we can get into that in a second. And it didn't work. Injuries happen, and so now you're in this spot. So when you get over to Indy next week, and you know this is where all the moving and shaking starts to take place, what are your, when you put your ear to the ground and you're hearing things, what do you expect to hear about the Bengals and their offseason plan to get right back to contenders? What do they need to get done?
Well, I think first and foremost, you've got to be aggressive in the front part of free agency. You've got to do what you need to do to get players to improve the roster. That might mean giving guys set guaranteed money in the second year when you don't normally do that. That might mean, you know, some other unique contract structures that other teams are willing to do that you haven't been able to do. You know, and I think being able to be aggressive in trades, potentially saying, you know what, we think this guy is maybe worth a second rounder, but guess what, you're only getting a fifth. That's what the market says. Maybe it's time to part ways. I think there's things where they need to kind of find those margins that they haven't been willing to exploit in recent years. And I think this goes back to what Joe Burrow said last season, in that how we've done things hasn't really worked out. We've got to find different ways to go out and be aggressive. And I think that would be something that they need to look at. And these processes, what are they going to change? Because at some point they have to go out and figure out that this is what we've done previously just hasn't been a winning recipe.
Ben, you talk to Joe more than anybody. He's notoriously pretty quiet with a lot of, you know, his feelings on all of this. I'm not asking you to get into his head, but best you can. What would you say is, where's his head heading into this offseason?
Yeah, Bo, I think that's a good point. I mean, we've had, you know, frankly, Joe and I have had pretty candid conversations, I think, in about, you know, how to interpret what he says. And Joe is pretty forthright with me, I think, and he knows that, you know, I'll go and approach him and to get more context as needed. Sometimes he doesn't feel like giving it, and that's fine. I said, all right, you know, as long as you're good with that, that's fine by me. I think really there's so much conversation about every time I've asked him about things, and he's talked about happiness and kind of the discourse that stems from that back and forth between him and I. And I think that one of the big things is that I think the injury part of this is such a big component, too. I think you're talking about a guy who was really excited for this year, thought he was playing really well, has that turf toe injury, and then really is trying to figure out why is this maybe happening to him all the time. He keeps having these setbacks. He talked more this year about the mental aspect of the injury more than he had, you know, with other injuries that he's had recently. And I think that is not an insignificant thing. And then you pair that with the fact that the team just isn't really where it needs to be either. And that no matter what he does, no matter how well Ja'Marr Chase might play, they just cannot seem to find a way to win. And I think at the end of the year, he pointed out that he does need, if he's going to keep doing this, he wants to be happy. Well, I think for a long time, his happiness has always been rooted in winning. Sure. Well, when they're not winning, what kind of joy is he getting out of the game? I think that's a big question that he'll have to tackle moving forward. It's something that he'll kind of consider as he gets closer to 30, which he'll turn this year. So I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of ways that Joe is thinking about the game, how where it fits kind of in his life, how can he split up that work-life balance. I think there's a lot of things, but all of that being said, make no mistake, this is a guy that wants to win at the highest level. You know, I see it every day where no matter what the record is, he goes out and he's a pro's pro and really wants to go out and put on a good show, put on a good performance, knows what it means to go out and play. And I think all of that is critical. So, you know, I think Joe will want to see this team continue to get better and really find a way to be competitive because he wants to be considered in that pantheon of great quarterbacks.
Buddy, I'll get you out of here on this one. They pick at 10 overall. As you head to the combine next week, what is kind of your head in terms of what they do at 10?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on how the board falls here. You know, if they can get a dynamic pass rusher and really, if you can get an interior pass rusher, I think that's going to be paramount. You know, if you can find a guy who can play defensive tackle, nose tackles, and go out and really affect the quarterback, that's something that they've been missing. They've invested a lot in edge rusher these last couple of years. And to get a defensive tackle is really hard. Those guys don't come out in free agency, especially if they're disruptive in the pass game. So I think that's going to be big. And then also Caleb Downs. Let's see where he falls there. I think that there's going to be a lot of conversation about whether Caleb Downs can fit in this Bengals defense. Can he go? I know my guy Jake Trotter is looking at where could Downs go in this draft, and I think that's going to be a fascinating conversation.
I'll tell you what, he'll fit in any defense. Whatever they're running, he'll make it work, buddy. I'll see you over in Indy, man. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, but let's catch up when you get there.
Look forward to it. There he goes. Ben Baby, one of the best in the business. That relationship he has with Joe is special, man, in terms of you want to know what Joe's thinking. Ben's as close as you're going to get from it coming out of Joe's mouth, and sometimes he works as translator as well. Covering the Bengals at ESPN on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little higher, lower. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good, clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Working for heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Entering Tuesday, Ohio State was 0-6 against teams this year in the AP Top 25. A change last night at the shot. Bruce Thornton's 28 points powered the Buckeyes to an 86-69 win over number 24 Wisconsin. OSU improves to 9-6 in Big Ten play. They'll play at number 15 Michigan State on Sunday. Also on the court last night, number 22 Miami of Ohio beat UMass 86-77. The Red Hawks are a program best 26-0 on the season. They'll host Bowling Green Friday. On the court tonight, the 10th-ranked Ohio State women's squad plays at Minnesota. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. Hear it on The Fan following the Inside Edge. In the Olympics today, U.S. skier Michaela Schifrin ended an 8-year gold medal drought, taking gold in the women's slalom final. Team USA's third in gold medal count with 7. USA Women's Hockey has Canada tomorrow in their gold medal game. This update sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to book your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to a little higher, lower, the Tony Clark situation. So he's the president of the Major League Baseball Players Association. He steps down yesterday for an inappropriate relationship with his sister-in-law. But to this point, we do not know the definition of sister-in-law. They're all bad. All scenarios are bad. But I do think that there are levels of bad because there are really three options. I illuminated Brother Bone of the third option this morning when I was on with them. So, wife of your sibling, your brother's wife, bad. Sister of your wife,
whew, probably the worst.
I think it's the worst, and I'll tell you why in a second. Really, really bad. And then this one, you might be able to diamond seller your way out of, and that is wife of spouse's brother. So your wife's brother's wife, I think that's the least. They're all bad.
I guess if we're power ranking really bad power, scenarios,
that's
sure.
Right.
Sure. Higher or lower? Okay, fine.
That's the. You may be able to find your way back from that somehow. The other two, there's no chance. I think wife of your spouse, I'm sorry, sister of your spouse is number one worst. There's no coming back. No chance. I mean, you're not coming back from any of this. But I think that's the number one worst. Brother Bone was arguing that his brother's wife would be more difficult. And I said, I've got two brothers. If I have to eliminate one, I can potentially save a marriage, although not very likely.
Brothers fight all the time.
Right. It's fine. I think that's fine. Can you imagine getting caught with this?
So what I...
Good God.
Does baseball have like nepotism laws in this? Because
that's why I think it's the last one.
Sounds like he's stepping down because he gave the mistress a job, but was she unqualified for the job? Did she do her job okay? Was she good at her job? Like, I need to learn more about this, like why he's forced to step down, because people in position of powers have affairs all the time.
This is why I think it's the third. I think this is why it's wife of spouse's brother. That's what I think. I think it's that one.
So the investigation, federal investigation, triggered by a whistleblower complaint filed against Clark with the National Labor Relations Board back in November of 2024 that alleged self-dealing, misuse of resources, abuse of power, and nepotism. So the construction of the MLBPA of a gigantic office in Arizona where he lives, where his sister-in-law worked, because she was hired by the PA back in 2023, was like the main thing. They said, why'd they build this giant building out here where he lives? And the federal investigation brought all of this to light. So it's really going well for the...
More government and sports. I love it.
The kind of one body that is going to fight against a lockout in 2027.
Oh, my God. That's going to be a mess, is it not? Yeah, you're not going to have baseball in 2027 is my guess. I think that's going to be a hardline lockout.
Sherrone Moore is thankful Tony Clark has taken some heat off of him.
A little bit off him right now, yeah. All right, let's do a little higher or lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
I don't know how we can get a better higher or lower than what we're about to do here with the Olympics.
Okay.
I don't have any trailing music for what is... a ranking of 16 Winter Olympic sports by FanSided. They said from curling to halfpipe, ranking every Winter Olympic sport by watchability.
Okay.
Because I think everybody has their own unique opinion on the sports. Do you like it or not? But watchability, I think, is one of the more important things with this because...
I would agree.
You know, with Peacock, you can watch all of them.
Mm-hmm.
At every time they're doing something. I didn't know curling had like 30 different rounds.
I didn't either.
And curling is probably one of the larger controversies of the Olympic Games, with figure skating judges, and it's not even the action on, I guess, the ice or the snow. But again, this was from FanSided, so they went and ranked all 16. Do we want to start at the bottom or start at the top?
Let's start at the top.
All right, so they say that the number one most watchable Olympic sport is ice hockey, men's and women's. At number two, they say figure skating. At three, alpine skiing. Higher or lower for alpine skiing?
Higher. I think alpine skiing is one for like the general watchability of it. I mean, Olympic hockey isn't... Oh, there you go.
You understood the assignment. Thank you,
Big. That's a good job. Olympic hockey is amazing, but it's a little bit of a cheat code. I mean, it's just hockey where you're playing for your country. So, like, we have the NHL. We see it at the highest level. So, this is just that playing for country. So, it's a little bit of a cheat code. I would have it very, very high, but I think alpine skiing would be number one for me. It's something that I watch once every 4 years. It defies logic how good the cameras are on it and what you're able to watch with the drones and everything. So, I would have alpine skiing number one. I would have ice hockey two.
So, I think ice hockey is number one. I just think it's almost like watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just a different... intensity with these guys. They love it when they put their country's jersey on, and it is I know this is surprising for me being the hockey fan that I am. I would have alpine skiing a little lower though, because I am enjoying the heck out of speed skating. These guys in these crashes, especially like the short track speed skating, it is just fantastic. And I've also, I don't know why. Maybe it was the controversy of it. I have enjoyed the heck out of watching the ski jumping.
Yeah.
And then the skeleton is amazing. Nothing says death like going head first down a mountain at 90 miles an hour like that. The skeleton is amazing.
So, yeah, I've also got similar issues with these rankings because a three alpine skiing isn't ever something if I'm on it, I stay on it. Like figure skating, if it happens to be on, that's something I'll stay on because I think it's incredible. Watch. At four, snowboarding. At five, luge.
Okay.
At six, ski jumping. Higher or lower for ski jumping at six?
So, I guess here's where we're going to run into problems because, like, to me, the difference between luge and skeleton, isn't it just one you're going feet first, the other head first?
Yeah, so skeleton is made up first, running start, and it's only solo skeleton. The luge is feet first. It's a seated start, and you pull to speed yourself up. You can do the two people or two person luge, which is really unique. And I guess for all three of the events, skeleton, bobsled, and luge, luge has the sharpest blades.
Okay.
So now you...
Okay. I think of those three, the skeleton is my favorite. I just think it's the simplest. I think anything like, oh, do I have sled on? Do I have snow on a hill? Yeah. Can I get a running start on this sled and then slide down it? Does that sound fun? Yep. Sold. So that's an easy
one.
Can
I go head first?
Yeah. Sold. I'm in. I think the snowboard's really cool. I think ski jumping, if I could, I'll change this from this perspective. I think if you could do one event once perfectly, I might pick ski jumping because it's probably about as close to flying as I'm ever going to get.
That's fair. I think the ski jumping, too, was like with the wind the other day they were having. Yeah. They were adjusting like where they were starting from.
Mm-hmm.
Because some guys had to go in a wind that was giving them a disadvantage.
Sure.
So they got to start from a higher point. And I hate that every time I watch it now, I'm just looking to see whose suit is flapping the most and who was cheating.
If we're going to power rank the Olympic stories, probably the ski jumping injections.
Yeah, that was
That's number tough one. To beat. I think the 10,000 condom refills up there as well in the Olympic Village.
Wow.
They had 10,000 to start, and then they ran out, and we're not even, we might be halfway through. But ski jumping takes sixth on this.
Six?
Yeah. Thank you, Tyvus. At number seven is curling. At eight, bobsled. That's nine, skeleton. 10, short track speed skating. Higher or lower for short track at 10. There's 16 Olympic events.
There's only 16 Winter Olympics events.
That surprised me.
To me, it feels like the summer has about 100 events. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot here. And it seems like some of these are all just kind of, they're all just similar versions of the same thing is what it kind of seems like to me. So you asked the question about,
short track speed skating.
Okay, I like the long one better, I think, where there's just two of them on the track versus the chaos of the short track. I like when they can get to a higher speed. The short track is basically roller derby is what it is.
God, it's amazing. Pure chaos.
It is chaos. It's utter chaos. Yeah.
So at 11, you have freestyle skiing. At 12, speed skating. So long track. At 13, cross country skiing. 14, biathlon. 15, Nordic combined. And then 16, ski mountaineering. So the Nordic combined, is long distance skiing with ski jumping.
No, for God's sakes.
So, like the steeplechase, but with skis and snow. The Nordic Combine is also that.
What the hell is ski mountaineering?
Oh, excuse climbing me. Ski mountaineering, skis? Yes. You're climbing it.
Okay.
You're going
I've
up.
Never even seen that. I don't have any idea what that is.
Is Not that over. When we posted that guy basically just running with that skis on
ski mountaineering,
last week?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because it's at an angle.
Oh, my God.
I'm learning so much about this.
There's really only about four sports here, isn't there? That's the real truth. And they just do varying varieties. Well, now you're going to cross-country ski, and you're going to shoot at varying spots. That's the biathlon. Now you're going to cross-country ski uphill. That's mountaineering. Now you're going to cross-country ski and go over jumps. That's whatever the thing
Nordic combined.
Nordic combined. So they're all just kind of the same. Basically, there's six sports.
Biathlon, here's a gun.
I did find myself watching.
I think it's six sports.
Quite a lot of the biathlon the past 2 days and just seeing these guys, and it's the shooting part of it that gets me because that's where you win or lose. If you go boom, 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 five out of five every time, you're winning.
That's where it's at. Yeah. And I just like the idea of Norwegians on cross-country skis with guns hunting for their food. That, to me, wins.
Sounds like that Ponderosa.
Well, minus the skis. But yes, close. Well done, Reese. Well done. Dom caught up with Julian Sand, apparently catching up everybody on the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Bidoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan.
Do you have...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered shower chances wrap up as we head into the afternoon. Otherwise, skies become mostly sunny with highs in the mid to low 60s and gusty winds. Increasing clouds tonight with our lows in the 40s. And then for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 60s. We see chances of rain and storms develop as we head into the evening. And the best chance will be late overnight into early Friday. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, fellas, listen up. If you listen regular, you know my friends at Diamond Sill are already guaranteed the best prices. That's the baseline. That's the walk-in-the-door situation you're getting at Diamond Cellar, but their wedding weekend takes it to another level. So it's February 27th, February 28th. Get preferred bridal pricing on select wedding and anniversary bands. Advantages up to 30% off, plus no interest financing on engagement rings. It's a rare chance to pair real value with the service and reputation that define Diamond Cellar. Discover wedding weekend. It's February 27th and 28th, Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center. They will take care of you. Tell them I sent you. I assure you of that. The Buckeye Cruise for Cancer is off. When did they get on the boat? Is it yesterday they got on the boat?
Yesterday they set sail. Yep.
Yesterday they set sail. I saw Bob with a little bit of a video on a new boat that they've got there. Dommy's the king of the Buckeye Cruise, crushes it, handles all of his business. And this is another thing you'll know about your Uncle Dom. He will get all of his A-list interviews done within the first 2 hours he's on the boat. So you will see these come as the week goes along. He'll put them on his social and all of that stuff, but he'll get the A-list stuff. So I guarantee you. So he talked to Julian. I saw him talk to Austin Servold. I'm sure he'll talk to Ryan. I'm sure all of that stuff was done within the first 2 hours of those folks getting on the boat. That's just the way that Dommy handles his business. He gets it in early. So Julian was one of his targets on day one of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. And they had a little bit of a conversation here, something we'll get to in just a second in terms of the specifics of it. But let's start with Julian's experience from last year and what he wants to work on this offseason.
I'm really excited to be back next season. And, you know, I can't wait till August when the foot hits the ball. And I think just, you know, having that experience from last season, it's going to be helpful to my development. And, you know, I'm excited about just, you know, improving all areas of my game. And I think I've been doing it this offseason, so I'm excited.
New offensive coordinator for Julian Sain as well. And the Buckeyes, of course, Arthur Smith. Here are your quarterback's thoughts on his new boss.
I like him a lot. You know, we've been able to sit down and, you know, talk some ball and just meet. And, you know, it's been good. I think it's been a good relationship and, you know, really excited about what he brings to Ohio State. He's a great coordinator, great football coach, and, you know, his resume speaks for itself, and, you know, I'm excited to get to work with him. And, you know, we have a great staff. I think, you know, just having Coach Day, Coach Smith, and Coach Fessler all working with the quarterback is going to be great.
And then anytime you get Dom on a ship, you're going to talk about sharks.
You know, there's sharks in the ocean.
We're not too worried about that. We got sharks in California also.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you one thing, Julian. You have a 0% chance of being bitten by a shark if you don't get in the ocean.
That's true. But why would you want to live without any little risk and a little adrenaline?
I'm scared of sharks.
He threw that line at us yesterday, and I think he's thrown it at us every time we've brought it up.
The line about if you don't get in the ocean, you can't get bitten by a shark.
0% chance.
Yeah. I think I've heard that. True. I've known him since 2007. It's almost 20 years. And I would tell you that I've probably heard that 1.6 million times, that stat. He used to talk about sharks in the Scioto. Somehow. Somehow swam up.
I think we've got a drop.
I think that's real.
I think we have a drop with that.
Yeah, he's worried about sharks everywhere. The best was little Dom one time tricked him into thinking that there was a shark net. They were in the Caribbean, and his son, little Dom, tricked him and said that the pylons that were out, it was just buoys, but he said that there was a net to keep sharks out of the ocean, and that actually got Dom to go in. And then once he was in, little Dom said, well, yeah, it's not a shark net at all. One thing about Julian, we've had him on the show. You ask him a question, and he gives you just the answer. Now, if you are, used to be Jerry Emig, if you're Ohio State Sports Information, you love that because he's not giving you anything beyond what you're asking. What I think is going to be curious about Julian, especially juxtaposed to an offseason where I look at these lists of top returning quarterbacks, he's never won. He's never won. And now Trinidad Chambliss is on a lot of these lists as one, but it's Arch Manning, it's Trinidad Chambliss, and Lenora Sellers, like all of these guys. I'm like, well, wait a second.
Again?
Right, exactly, Reese. Like, one of these guys finished fourth in the Heisman. And I do think as Julian positions himself to be in the number one pick of the draft conversation, there is some growth that he needs to do on the field. Probably what you would say from a critical standpoint is muddied pocket, pressure around. Can we still make plays down the field? Are you comfortable when the pocket isn't pristine? The other thing that you would probably say is when there's opportunity to go pick up 7 yards on the ground, go do it. That would probably be the other thing that we would say we need to see maybe a little bit more of that. His sneak game. Not great on the sneak game. Lost his footing a couple times in that. So that's probably some things that you need to work on there. So it's lower body strength with Mick. And then probably the other thing, if he wants to position himself to be number one overall pick in the draft in 2027, and he's definitely going to be a first rounder. But if those are the things that he's trying to do, then the other part is probably just expanding a little bit with the way that he handles with the media and stuff. There's a little bit of, not robotic because he has personality, but it's just he's in and he's out very quickly with his answers. This is nitpicky stuff. But if you're an NFL team, you're ready to turn your keys over to a franchise to somebody, that would probably be the next thing. Just a little bit more there is what they're looking for. But other than that, and this is all minor stuff that's easily fixable. And I think that it's wild to me some of the discourse around him that he is somehow not the number one returning quarterback in all of college football. I mean, why would Arch Manning be ahead of him on any list?
Last name.
Okay. But like,
didn't
we do this already?
So, right. It's what is old is now new again. Because you ripped off some of those quarterbacks that'll be returning next year. And like, yeah, we've already had you tongue in cheek about Lenora Sellers, but you've had the conversation before. I think for Julian, it's like a mark against him because he's got Jeremiah Smith and because he had Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith last year. And now Bo Jackson, a 1,000-yard rusher. And I think all of that with Julian that you want him to excel at will come in time. I think everything this past season, after he was in a legitimate quarterback competition. So through all of that, you're just trying to make sure you have the basics of the offense down so you can run it to a point where your coaches trust you with the ball. Then everything else kind of builds toward the season that it's all firsts for him.
Yeah.
First game against a top team in the country, first game against a top five team, first game on the road, first Michigan game, first playoff game. All of it are firsts for him as a starter. Now you've gotten all of that behind you. And so I think you can kind of build everything else is sneak ability. Will he use his legs on a 3rd and 5? I mean, we saw snippets of it in the season where there were yards in front of him that he could pick up with his legs. He picked them up. Now I think you can add that to his arsenal to where you're not looking and saying, Julian, go. And then to your point about him talking, I think this becomes if you're QB1, undoubtedly the QB for Ohio State going into the season with no quarterback competition, you're going to be given more in terms of a front facing, maybe a captain. Maybe a captain type role where you're giving it to the media every single week. And will he be Fernando Mendoza? I hope not. So maybe there's a fun little balance. He can be not as quiet as he's been and maybe not robotic like Mendoza.
It's wild, the different personalities between him and Will Howard.
Sure.
And there was a lot of difference in Will Howard, right? He had already played
23-year-old
four years.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that will change for Julian. Maybe that's just his personality. Who knows? Mm-hmm. If you want to argue Dante Moore is a better quarterback than Julian saying, I think I'll hear that argument. I think Dante Moore's pretty good and he's returning. And I think he's a legit quarterback and he's right there with Julian saying. If you want to argue maybe Trinidad Chambliss because of his playmaking ability, because his playmaking ability is elite, but there's also a lot of bad there in Trinidad Chambliss that you don't. So maybe there's a little more upside with Trinidad and the playmaking ability, but I think there's a lot that Julian's better at as far as taking care of the ball, not making mistakes and all of that. I don't know if March Manning's going to continue to develop, but he did better as the year went on last year. But I don't know how, outside of Dante Moore, to me, you could argue anybody's better than Julian Sagan.
Me either. And he is consistently not in the top two or three. And it's like, did people not watch what happened here? It's so strange the way that that's happened. But good. Play with the chip. Get better. Boy, the haircut shocked me. That's going to break Bootsy's heart. I mean, Bootsy, the last couple of times to the hair place, I want the Julian saying. All of a sudden, Julian's short.
I bet he's like Reese, grows back fast.
Yeah, it's a bit of an attention getter. He had the locks for a long time. Get Jake's thoughts on all of this, not Julian's hair, the rest of it in 2 minutes. Bishop Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep. And you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard. A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit. A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival. That man is Jake Trotter.
Indeed he is, and he joins on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Are we just not going to have eligibility? Just play till you're 60, college football? Is that where we're at now, bud?
We're on our way there.
It's crazy.
State courts just overruling the NCAA.
You've been around this a long time. I've been around a long time. We all know how we got here. The adults in the room, right? Chase the money forever, and you're in this spot. But this is not. At some point, somebody's got to push back. And I just keep coming back to it, Jake. Like, there needs to be the most powerful people, Petiti, Sankey. They've got to get on the same page, and they have to create some rules that will hold up in a court of law, because this can't be what it is. We can't be playing seventh, eighth years of eligibility.
Well, I mean, I think as the playoff format underscored, that's not easily done. I mean, they can't even agree on that, and quite frankly, they're pretty far apart on how to move forward. I mean, eight teams apart, last I checked.
You think Petiti blew that?
The playoff?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Okay, here's what I mean. So, we're at 12. It seems like everybody is open to 16. It seems like the common sense would be, 16, eliminate the conference championship games, buys for conference. I mean, it's not that hard to do. This is pretty easy. Start it right away after the last weekend of the regular season. We've been over 100 times. And somehow he comes up with this convoluted 24. It's been out there for 2 months. it got really out there this week where they're still trying to do it. There's absolutely no appetite for it from anybody else in the sport. He's obviously trying to appease his television partners because they want more content to be able to sell. I get it. It's always about the money. His conference is bloated. And so he's in this spot that it's hard for me to see him getting a win here. So I guess when I asked, did he blow it? Was there a needle to thread here that doesn't end in this?
You know, so I'd heard about the 24 team proposal, I want to say last summer, maybe even before that, last spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's been around a while. I know it's really cranked up here in the last few days, but I think it was Pete who reported it for us.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been talking about this for a while. And I don't know if you remember Big Ten Media Days last summer in Vegas, but I don't think he used the word 24, but he did say, you know, we should get to a point where Iowa is in the playoff. And mm-hmm. the collective reaction I remember in the room then was like, who wants to see Iowa in the playoff? Now, Iowa had a pretty good year this past season. I'm talking about the Iowa from 2 years ago, which they're fine. They're like 8-4, you know. But is that what we want? We want the middle tier of the Big Ten in the playoff? I don't think anybody wants to see that. And we, for all the problems with the playoff, I do think we've taken a nice step forward in making this or deregionalizing the game, because it was getting to a point in the playoff where it was the same seven schools every year
mm-hmm.
who were in contention, yes. and nobody else had a prayer. And everybody's season was effectively over in mid-October. So you had all these, it's like the NBA. We had November games, like, no, you know, nobody cared for the most part. Yeah, I mean, like, my experience with college sports is you have to take these steps incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get drastic change overnight. I mean, think about how long it took to go from the bowls to the BCS and then the BCS to the playoff, a four-team playoff. And then 14 playoff to what we have now, it just was never going to happen. But I do understand, like, if that's what they want for the membership because of the way the Big Ten is gone, you know, I get that he's trying to represent, but it's just not going to end well. We're not going to get to a point where everybody's going to be on board. Well, everybody, the SEC is going to be on board with 24 teams. So I don't know where we go from here. But again, you know, I think he's been floating this for a while, and it just never felt like anybody is that interested in moving in that direction.
That's it, exactly. He's new Coke. No, trust me. I'm going to put a new label on it. It's going to taste a little different. No, dude, we don't want it. Like, there's nobody who's got his back on this. He's bossing a league that's won the last three national championships. Like, he should have more power and more sway. So then you've been in a room with him, right? Like, what can you tell?
Yeah.
Because I haven't, and we don't hear from him like we hear from Sankey. What can you tell me about his leadership?
Well, I mean, like, he is, I don't want to say he's a, you know, schmoozer, but he, you know, he gets around and talks to people, and he talks to the media. You know, he's available. I think with the hope of persuading people to, you know, back some of his ideas, you know, I'm not in the room when he's talking to presidents.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to give you an accurate portrayal of how those meetings have gone behind the scenes. But I also know too, like, when you want to do something publicly, you got to make sure you have everybody on board privately. And mm-hmm. with the private equity, for example, that did not happen. You know, we'll see if it changes with Michigan's new leadership, but USC has been against that. I don't know that the haves in the Big Ten have been super fired up about that as well. It's for the Rutgers of the world who are, you know, tens of millions of dollars in debt because they're in a conference that they just can't produce the kind of money they need to compete in the conference. It's a mess.
Yeah, it is. You hit on the Big Ten mess, which is unique. I mean, it's a conference that has become very bloated in the first part because of television buy, cable buy. That's your Rutgers, Maryland decision, which is well over a decade ago. And then most recently as a response to Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. Well, we got to do something. Let's go get USC. And then they did. And so they have this conference that is very, very bloated. Dan Wetzel, the College Game Day podcast with Reese Davis, on your network, of course, talked about the idea of Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State leaving the Big Ten to do their own thing. I'm intrigued by this, and I think everything should be on the table. This is just somebody floating out an opinion, but I do think it is so difficult. I think there's something to it from the perspective of how could you possibly serve the best interests of Ohio State and Michigan, who don't agree on much, and also Rutgers and Maryland and Washington and Oregon. It just, the conference doesn't make sense anymore, bud.
All programs in the Big Ten are not created equally, and it's a byproduct of decisions that were made in a different media era.
Yeah.
Back then, you worried about eyeballs and subscriber fees. Well, everybody's streaming now, or at least we're heading in that direction. So it doesn't matter so much what market you operate out of. What matters now is, can you draw eyeballs across the country?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Oklahoma and Texas, for example, were attractive to the SEC in a way that they – Oklahoma wasn't attracted to the SEC so much 10 years ago because it's a small state and there's just not a lot of people there. Well, now that doesn't matter so much. What matters is that if you live in Columbus, Ohio, are you interested in watching Oklahoma play Michigan? Yeah, that's an interesting game. Yep. To a lot of people. So it's about brand recognition more so than population. So now you're stuck with these schools that, okay, they're in big media markets, but who's watching Rutgers play Maryland? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody's watching that game. Now you're bloated is a good word for it, but you're stuck with all these programs now and these schools now that don't fit, you know, the future of the way media is going, where everybody is going to be streaming games. Everybody has access to all of them. There's no regional games anymore. It's all national. And the brands and the helmets that matter the most are the ones that are going to carry the day. So, like, yeah, that is, I don't know what that would look like. And, you know, the SEC, I think, has less of an issue with this. Mm-hmm. But there are some schools in the SEC that, you know, aren't the same. The Big Ten has the biggest problem because they have a lot of programs that just kind of feel like meh, right?
No doubt. And it goes back. And you were there at this time. I mean, and I was going to I was talking about it every day at that time when there was any sort of whisper, Rutgers, Maryland. I'm like, no, Texas, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma can't figure it out. You got to get those. It's football is all that matters. I was talking about this 15 years ago, and I'll get you out of here on this one. Do you think if the Big Ten went to Oklahoma and Texas after it added Nebraska, that those two schools would have come?
100%. But Oklahoma was always going to kind of do what Texas did. And I think Texas, academically, you know, there's a lot of similarities between Texas and Ohio State. Culturally, I think would have been a pretty good fit in the Big Ten. And this is the other thing too, Bo. We haven't a lot of these decisions were made, and I never really could figure out why it was so attractive to university presidents. But we want to be aligned with what is the academic club, the AAC. I can't even remember the acronym for it or what you're a certain level of school academically.
AAU.
Everybody in the Big Ten.
Wasn't it AAU? Yeah.
Something like that. There's a lot of A's in the acronym. I can't remember.
Yes.
Because it doesn't even matter anymore. But
no.
That actually would trump everything. And that's why Oklahoma at the time was never going to get into the Big Ten. And Oklahoma realized it. That's why Nebraska did get into the Big Ten, because they had that academic certification. So that is... You know, the decisions that, again, the factors that drove those decisions have changed over time. And, you know, today, Texas and Oklahoma would be great in the Big Ten. But 20 years ago, Oklahoma was never going to get the invite because football, though it was important, was on the same plane as these academic profiles. And then also, what was your population where you play football? And now that just doesn't matter. Now it's actually hurting not only the leagues, but the schools themselves, because they can't compete at the level you have to win in the Big Ten.
Nailed it, brother. As always, great stuff. Appreciate you.
All right, Bill. See you.
There he goes. Jake Trotter, ESPN on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. 86-69, Ohio State defeats Wisconsin. Let's start about asking you about your team's defensive effort tonight.
Listen, I thought our connection really on both sides of the ball was great. And defensively, aside from, you know, Carrington getting off 12 threes, we were really dialed in. I mean, that backcourt is really, really good. And, you know, we made them inefficient. To an extent, we kept them off the free throw line, which was really good. And I thought, you know, our solution was one of just being together. And I was really proud of the way our guys responded on really both sides of the ball.
All right, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
86-69, the final. Ohio State defeats Wisconsin here in Columbus. Jake, how about how your team rebounded tonight?
You know, it was good, especially, you know, in the second half. We did a great job. To out-rebound that team was critical in the result, and it's an area we've been really working on. You know, really the last two games we've shown some improvement against good rebounding teams.
Coach, when you look at Devin Rowe, he'll be the first to tell you he was not satisfied with how he played against Virginia. What was the communication between you and Devin Rowe to help him to get to this stage where he was that productive?
You know, I think we talked about just the belief, how important that was, and I think he knows we got his back, and that's why I was so confident. I said this, you know, I was so confident in his response because he really locked in and was really committed to just being better for this team. Like we needed him to step up. We're down a couple guys, and that's where you want your best players to really rise up, and he has. And he didn't do as good Virginia. He knows that, and he took ownership over that. I think that's what was impressive and showed great leadership to where we were able to, you know, count on him to really respond in a big way.
Okay, it's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round, and Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on any new 26 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Looking to sell your...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a first Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
In your last conversation with Jake Trotter, you had mentioned ESPN's Dan Wetzel talking about Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan having a possible Big Ten secession plan. Here's what he said on the College Game Day podcast with Reese Davis.
We got Ohio State, we got Penn State, and we got Michigan. And we put you three of you together and say, look, why are you floating the rest of these guys? Because if we had your football rights for your three schools and you all play each other, and maybe we bring in USC or Oregon, or maybe we get a little scheduling deal with Notre Dame. We have five or six every week. We have a big time game. And then you go out and schedule everything else as kind of an independent. You're not independent, but you're not. I've heard estimates that Ohio State Michigan game is alone is worth $200 million in terms of media rights, sponsorship, all the stuff. That's $100 million for each school. That's more than they make in the entire Big Ten. The Big Ten pays them like $78 million. If you had this one game as independents or in a little group, and then we throw in the Ohio State-Penn State game and the Michigan-Penn State game, and maybe we add a couple of these others, and then you take all your other, you go play in the MAC for your other leagues or go, whatever you want to schedule out, and you don't, all of a sudden Ohio State's making a couple hundred million dollars in media. All these schools are going from 78 million in media to, I don't know, 150, 200.
Thing or not a thing.
So I want to have a longer discussion on this, and I think we can get to it tomorrow. Part of what for the sake of right now, thing, no brainer thing. But then what does it look like? It's one thing to throw that all out, and he's kind of scatterbrained on it. Dan's one of the best in the business, but you're talking about joining the MAC, and we're independent for this, and so forth and so on. Do I think Ohio State and Michigan could lead a group of teams to secede from the Big Ten? Like eight teams? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think you can do it pretty easily, and I think you could trim the fat of this league in a hurry. And I think at the very least, Ohio State in the new media deal that it comes out will be making exponentially more than the bottom feeders of this league, and there's a lot of bottom feeders. I think the days of Ohio State making the same as Rutgers are gone. Done.
So we have talked about this a lot, and we even talked about it with Ross Bjork's comments last week with 11 Warriors, where he says, well, selfishly, we could contract at Ohio State and be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's your job. Your job is to look out for Ohio State. And maybe he's looking out for Ohio State in the way of just making as much money as possible. And if they want to make as much money as possible, and hey, guess what? In the new way of things in NIL world, the more money you make for you and keep for you, the better for you. In the long run, it's going to make all of your programs better. Maybe Ohio State would do something like this. Who knows? But the one thing I do know about Ohio State is they have always been a good soldier for the Big Ten. They have always put the interests of the Big Ten before their own, it seems like. So yeah. I don't know if we're getting closer to something like this. I think all of this could be taken care of if they just made football separate from everything else.
That too, yeah.
On Tuesday, Sportico's Daniel Libet reported the Players Era Festival, the big spending college basketball multi-team event held during Thanksgiving, has been pitching networks on buying its broadcast rights for over $50 million per year. Libet adds, quote, thus far, no takers, end quote. Thing or not a thing?
I don't even know what this is.
I've never heard of it either.
Players Era Festival?
So Michigan won it this last year, which would have been 2025. And then I think Oregon won the first year. So it was like eight teams in 24 and then 16, I want to say, in 25. And yeah, it's just non-conference matchups in Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, I think that there's no, thus far, no takers, not a thing. I understand why it's not, and it's not because people aren't really interested in college basketball. I think they are. It's the time of year. Thanksgiving? With all the college football and NFL? good luck. I just think that's where it's really difficult, is how are you ever going to get $50 million back? One thing that is going to happen here, I really am predicting this, and I think you're going to see it in the NBA's new deal. What are we paying for? We're paying what? For what? Like, these ratings don't add up to what we're paying for. And I think you're going to see a little bit of reverting back to the mean on some of these rights deals. So this doesn't surprise me. I'm going to go not a thing.
I'm going to go not a thing as well, and I don't consume as much college basketball as I used to, but Bo, like you, I never heard of this.
No.
So why is somebody going to pay $50 million for a tournament that I don't know how much of the population even knows exists?
Right.
Former Mavericks owner Mark Cuban posted why the NBA should embrace tanking. This was a pretty long essay that he posted on X. Quote, "When I got into the NBA, they thought they were in the basketball business. They aren't. They're in the business of creating experiences for fans. What fans care about is hope. Hope that a team will get better and have a chance to compete for the playoffs and then maybe a ring. One way to get closer to that is via the draft and trades and cap room. You have a better chance of improving all three when you tank. The NBA should worry more about fan experience than tanking. It should worry more about pricing fans out of games than tanking. You know who cares the least about tanking? A parent who can't afford to bring their three kids to a game and buy their kids a jersey, their favorite player. Tanking isn't the issue. Affordability and quality of game presentation are," end quote. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I think he crushed this. I just wish he would have added one more line, which is player availability. Like, play if you're healthy. So, yes, game is not affordable. Quality of game presentation is pretty good. I mean, I've only been to Cavs games in recent years, and the game presentation there is pretty elite. It's expensive, although they do have, I mean, they're like anything. They do have some affordable tickets that are there as well. But the big issue that I've had, and I've told the story before, and many buddies who'd want to take their kids up there and go see Luka or go play Giannis, and those guys sit. And that's the problem. I think that's as big a problem as anything.
So I think the parent might care if the team tanks because maybe they could get tickets for cheaper for their family and get in and see them that way if nobody wants to buy them on the secondary market. I'm so torn with this because every competitive bone in my body says you're supposed to go out there and win every game. And I believe the players are trying. But when you have a situation like Utah right now where they're just sitting everybody for the rest of the season, there's nothing those players can do. I also understand it is the job of upper management of the team to hopefully win a championship. And sometimes your best route to that is tanking and getting a superstar player like maybe one in this year's draft.
Yes.
Hey, A.J. DeBance, Darren Peterson, a Cam Boozer, something like that. So Mark Cuban, I believe, is right in this. I just think some teams have taken it to the extreme.
Yeah, sure. I think that's all fair. There's probably a sweet spot here. All right, final hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off with a little bit of, hey, guys, still time to get your questions in at 971BFS, also in the YouTube chat. Final hour of the program, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Get eco.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. It's the 15th day of Winter Olympic competition. Team USA is third in overall and gold medals at the Milan Cortina Games. U.S. skier Michaela Schifrin ended an eight-year medal drought, taking gold in the women's slalom final earlier today. Zach Werenski and Team USA have Sweden this afternoon at 3:10 in the men's hockey quarterfinals. Canada and the Czech Republic are playing right now and tied at 1 midway through the first period. Tomorrow at 1:10, USA Women's Hockey has Canada in the gold medal game. In college hoops, the 10th-ranked Ohio State women's squad plays at Minnesota tonight at 8. You can hear that game on The Fan. Tyler Danberg's going to have the call Wednesday night with coverage after the Inside Edge. The OSU men's squad beat number 24 Wisconsin 86-69 last night at the Shot. Bruce Thornton climbed to third on OSU's all-time scoring list. The Buckeyes are at number 15 Michigan State on Sunday. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a first Friday. Get your officially endorsed coming up in about 43 minutes from now. Time now for a little Hey Guys. Hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag Hey Guys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Great food, award-winning drinks, and something for everyone in the family. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
A lot of cool releases coming up here too. They have a cigar cast that's coming again for March Madness and all of that. So a lot to look forward to there, guys. Go ahead, fellas.
We can get your questions at 971BFS on Twitter or on the YouTube chat. If we can read them on the air, we'll try to get them in the next 20 minutes here. We'll start with Michael on Twitter, who asks, hey guys, they're putting out videos to commemorate the 250th birthday of America. Who would you select to voice Ohio's video?
Don't we have ties to J.K. Simmons? Simon Simmons.
I know he's an Ohio State fan.
I think he went to the University of Montana, but I think he's got some sort of connective tissue here.
He's born in Michigan.
Oh. Grew up here? Isn't there a connection with him?
Okay, so he did. When he was 10, he moved to Worthington and attended Worthington High School.
Okay.
In the 70s.
Okay.
Then he moved to Missoula when he was 18.
Okay, so he went to the University of Montana. Okay, so I had that part right. That's the first. So, like that voice is so strong. Who is there someone else who isn't deceased? I mean, like Paul Newman would have been a no-brainer, but he's not around. Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I feel okay with that. I'm sure someone will tell me there's somebody else. But what you're looking for in a voiceover is you're looking for distinct voice. You're looking for, I would say, on a 250th anniversary, an authoritative voice. I think J.K. does that.
And if Mr. Simmons is busy, Paul Keels.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. That's pretty good. I didn't even think about that. Like, who would you?
Yeah.
Who would you, I mean, like, if you did a choice of, like, I mean, we have got some people who have done play-by-play in this state.
So, there were two names that came to mind right away to me. One of them was Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
And then the other was Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Reese, you have a great one there in Keels. I thought of that. I was already looking for a sounder when you said his name. But let's be honest. There's really only one answer to this question.
Yeah.
I mean, alive. AI Macho Man? I do not want anything to do with an AI voice of anybody.
Nathan Zagura on the Browns broadcast is a spot on Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, it is spot on.
We always think of Macho Man, though, as like the, oh, yeah, Slim Jim, you know, loud.
And, yeah.
But when he's talking really quiet,
That's the best one.
And he's got his hand moving right by his head. Oh, yeah.
That's the one you want.
Today I learned Baker's got a real solid macho man.
He does, yeah.
Cream of the crop.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine, like, Marty, Paul, Hammy, God rest his soul, Jim Donovan. I mean, we've got some. Joe Tate. I mean, you got a lot of iconic voices. The Great Rims. I mean, you got a lot of great ones out there.
We'll go to the YouTube chat for our next one. Chris asks, hey guys, are the Blue Jackets and Basketball Buckeyes doppelgangers of each other every year trying to wedge themselves into the last playoff spot?
Yes. This is a great point. We've made it, and it's what's interesting about it is they aren't competitors in any way except the most important way, and that is for attention and dollars spent here in town. There are obviously diehard Blue Jacket fans, diehard Buckeye basketball fans. If you just go on attendance, though, one thing that has changed in the last decade is the Blue Jackets consistently, regardless of wins and losses, outdraw Buckeye men's basketball. I mean, that has changed from when I first got to town. Like, Blue Jackets always had good crowds, but when I first got to town 07, that was coming off of Connolly Oden, all of that, into Sullinger, all of that. Like, that place was routinely pretty close to capacity, almost no matter who they play. I think last night they only had 9,000.
9,006.
That's crazy.
And that's reported. I'm sure there wasn't 9,006 in the building.
That's a ranked Big Ten game. Now, I know it's 8:30 on a Tuesday, so that's not doing you any favors. The NHL does you a lot of favors. It's 7 o'clock puck drop, so there's all of that. But it does feel like the Blue Jackets have passed Buckeye basketball in terms of just the city's give a damn of it.
It's a pretty good question. As far as their doppelgangers right now and what they're trying to be, the Blue Jackets, you know, they chased the eight last year, but they had a couple years where they didn't, off of the greatest run in franchise history where they made it four or five times.
Always an eight, right?
Well, not always. The one year, I believe.
Were they a seven once?
The one year they went in as a four seed, I believe. I think that was 2014, maybe. They went in as a four seed, and they ended up having to play Pittsburgh, who was the five.
Oh, that was in the old pre-Metro wild card.
There were a couple times, but by the way, Czechia beating Canada right now, 2-1.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
That'd be one of the upsets of all time.
Yes.
Let's go with Scotty in the YouTube chat. Hey, guys, what's the approach to pet poo cleanup in the weather we're having now? Do you do it now or wait until next week's refreeze?
So I'm going to have to do this because the snow.
Oh, man, you're coming
gone home
to
a
battlefield.
Oh, my God. So I was banking on what I was hopeful for. I think what he just said is going to be my approach, that I'm going to wait till the refreeze so that because the sloppy, you know. Sloppy bombs all over the yard is going to be a disaster. And there's got to be upwards of 60 because we've been under snow for 2 months. So, like, there's going to be gold mines out there, the likes of which no one has ever seen in these parts. So it's going to be a full day. My guess is it takes the better part of an hour to get it all done. And I think I'm going to wait till it freezes to do it. That's where I'm leaning right now.
I don't think I want
in this right now.
Case by case. So when Odie's out there, I'm pretty hawkish. When he's out in the backyard, at least. When he's on the walk, it's no question. I'm picking it up. But the front yard or the walk, I'm a hawk with him. Like, if he goes, I'm picking it up. But in the backyard, it's a little more lax. I try twice a week to go out there and do a scan. And so I'll have to address each one individually.
Yeah.
But next week's refreeze, it'll probably be when some of them get picked up.
Yeah, I think waiting for it to freeze up a little bit right now is just so you're not walking in slop, because everybody's yard is a mess right now because of the foot and a half of snow that has just melted in the past 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, I would think holding off as long as you can, as long as there's no risk of people stepping in it, that would be the way to go.
I'm looking for the refreeze. That's where I'm going right now.
Phil asks, hey guys, what piece of life advice would you give a 16-year-old version of yourself?
Oh my God. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I almost have a 16-year-old. I got a 14-year-old right now. And one of the things that I, you know, I do think there is something, I mean, this is going to come across a little cheesy, but I do think that there is something pretty miraculous about the idea, and I know there's a million issues, but I still think we live in the best country in the world, and I still think the idea that you can do and accomplish anything with hard work still tracks. And I think I probably did those things to a certain degree, and so that would probably be it. Like, you're not guaranteed success, but at the very least, if you put your best effort forward, you can sleep well at night. And that's probably would be it. That. And then the other thing is, like, with these kids now, like, and I try to talk to this with NBC all the time, like, dude, everything you do is being monitored. Like, I cannot imagine being a kid growing up now, like, trying to go to college now while everything I'm doing is monitored constantly by my phone. Would be absolutely terrifying to me right now. But I would probably say that. You can accomplish anything with hard work. Not guaranteed, but at least you can sleep well at night.
So there's two things for sure that I would tell 16-year-old me. And one of them is kind of along the way of yours, Bo. Like, chase your dreams now.
Yeah.
Figure out what you want to do in life and chase it now, because it's easier for you to chase that dream and move to different places if you have to before you have a family, before you have kids, any of that kind of thing. So chase your dreams now. Get your foot in the door early. Do the grunt work early when you can still live at mom and dad's house or live with friends and all of that. Do that stuff early. And with that, the hard work, like, as long as you just work hard enough, you can get there and do whatever you want. The second thing, learn about money and investing. Be smart now with your money.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, or so you don't get behind. And if you do it early, then you can have your money working for you a lot.
I just thought of one. When you're in line to register for classes your freshman year, do not sign up for the credit card.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that?
Unless you're going to use it responsibly.
Right.
Nobody, 18-year-olds don't know. It's free money.
Yeah, mine was going to be, one, stay off the weed. Number two, be more responsible with your money. And three, fix your deadlift.
We'll continue with the Hey Guys after this quick timeout. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered shower chances wrap up as we head into the afternoon. Otherwise, skies become mostly sunny with highs in the mid to low 60s and gusty winds. Increasing clouds tonight with our lows in the 40s. And then for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 60s. We see chances of rain and storms develop as we head into the evening. And the best chance will be late overnight into early Friday. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Get your officially endorsed here coming up in about 20 minutes or so, something like that. Now back to the Hey Guys. Hit it, Reese.
So we've still got some coming through, actually, on the YouTube chat, so we'll make sure to get those. And appreciate everybody for sending them in as they are listening along, whether it be on YouTube or on Twitter. We got some images from the Schottenstein Center last night. Andrew set one in of the upper bowl at 8:30. And, yeah, the 9,000 number's generous. I would say that if you're going to start, if you're going to have a time to 9:30 and there's a game going into overtime, just say, you know what, bleep it. We're starting at 8:30.
Yeah.
Because it tipped closer to 9 than it did actual 8:30. That, you can't be doing that on a Tuesday.
No. And the problem is, it was an FS1 game. So there's no place else for them to put it. They don't have, like, ESPN can start games. They'll do that. Like,
yeah.
They will
throw it over on ESPN News.
Put it on ESPN News, and then you can start it, and then it'll switch over in progress. But, yes. Yeah, all of these things contribute. And I think one of the overwhelming conversations that'll be had when we look back on the most recent Big Ten expansion, and I'm talking about the four West Coast schools, is the incredible damage that was done to everything other than football. Not just for those schools, but also for these schools. And it's not all because you added them. It's because you signed up for a television package that only cared about football. Like, I don't think anyone read the fine print on any of it. It's almost like they just said, what are we getting? $78 million? Fine. Sign on the line, which is dotted. Wait a second. Ohio State's going to have to play Big Noon every big game until 2029? What? Wait a second. Ohio State basketball is going to tip at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night? Yeah. This is your new reality. And nobody read any of the fine print on any of it. And shame on the leadership of this conference that signed that without understanding what they were signing up for. Or, worse off, didn't care because the money was the money.
All right. On the YouTube chat, SK has this. Hey, guys. Would you choose your partner in life to be a psychoanalyst, a nutritionist and fitness instructor, or the city socialite slash influencer?
Well, that's the health one would be me. Because I don't need to, I don't have any interest in socializing any more than I already do. I am at a point now where the amount of socializing I do is about as minimal as possible. So I'm out on that right away. What was our first option?
A psychoanalyst. So a psychiatrist. God.
That'd be divorce in 10 seconds. I have no interest in that. But if the blonde was just like locked in on every meal was absurdly healthy and like she was on me on the exercising even more than I do, I could probably make work. But the first two, I think would be deal breakers.
So, yeah, I don't need the psychoanalyst. I probably need the fitness nutritionist the most, but I feel like for what we do, and you know, me and Reese, we're not you, Uncle Bo. We're not to your status yet, so maybe the socialite and the social media influencer could help me out in this business, get me a little further. So maybe that's what I would choose for purely selfish professional reasons.
I'm glad you said you spoke for yourself there, because there's no...
I did.
That's a big head for Reese.
No way. Hey, we're going to a dinner. When? Tonight. What? It's Wednesday. I'm not doing that. I got to get dressed and talk to people? No, we'll save it for the weekend. No, we got a thing on the weekend, too. Like, no, thank you.
Can you imagine Bake? I can just picture him in an ascot. Just going from one big party to the next. Just stepping out.
You can't wear shorts at these events, though.
Well,
until the summer. Could.
If you're a socialite,
maybe it's a new
tuxedo
trend.
On top.
I guess shorts on the bottom. Okay.
Yeah. Who's like, saying he can't? It's like Bert Kreischer goes bare-chested everywhere. Who's stopping him?
It's like the outfit mullet or something. One coat up top.
I just saw this from Jay Walken, and it's a good one. I just found out I have vacation time without the wife or kids. Hey, guys, what do you recommend doing for day trips by yourself?
Oh, I think golf's pretty undefeated for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really weird, and a lot of my buddies get mad at me about this. I love to play golf by myself.
So
and
fun.
I just love it. I don't know if it's just, it's probably just because we talk all day, you know? And you almost need like a break. I find that I need a break. But if it doesn't happen very often, and most of the time I play with the boys, but if I do get a chance to play by myself, I really enjoy the solitude of it and the quiet.
The problem for me when I go play by myself is I just try to break like the fastest record I've ever had playing.
I don't take
my time and enjoy it. Like I just try to get out there and go as fast as I can.
Hit two balls off every tee.
Well, I mean, that happens sometimes, unfortunately.
On its own.
It's not planned. It just happens that way sometimes.
Give yourself a mully. That second guy's really good, too, usually.
Oh, it's usually the best shot you hit all day.
That guy's great, man. That second guy.
I think a couple things that are fun, like if you Haven't been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a while.
Yeah.
Make a drive up there. Maybe go down and see some of the Reds museums in Cincinnati, or maybe if you want to take a trip to some sporting venue that you haven't been to, if you want to go to Wrigley or you want to go to Fenway, and I know that's a little longer than a day trip, but do something like that. I think something else that's really good is just pulling Uncle Bo and belly up to the bar at a really nice steakhouse have yourself a hell of a meal, a couple drinks, and consume a game. That's winning.
If you like to drive a vehicle and you like head north through Amish country, there's some beautiful drives up there. Like, I like to drive. I like to just zone out and drive. That's a win too. There's a lot of good ones, man. Lots of good ones.
Baker, have the button ready.
Oh, here we go.
Chimdichek was burner.
Chimdichekwa.
Hey, guys, what's an outdated piece of technology that you prefer to the modern equivalent and would like to see return?
Flip phone. I'm going to tell you, I think, like, my kids have a problem with my with their phones. The two oldest have phones. They're 14 and 12. They have phones. And I think, like, it's DEFCON 1 for them in terms of a problem. If there is something worse than DEFCON 1, it is... my parents' age, like my dad, my wife's parents, who I love dearly and are lovely, are addicted to their phones. Addicted. You can be at lunch, at dinner, and if something pops in, they're on ChatGTP, that leads into just a never-ending search of, well, this means this and this means this, and I'm going, what are we doing? Who needs to know what the weather's going to be in 17 days in a place you don't currently live? But, I mean, that's what happens. So, to me, smartphones, burn them. That would be my number one.
So, I will go in the phone realm as well. I have always missed my Nextel. Especially with the enjoyment of messing with people. Like, you knew they were in a situation. Yeah. And you could... say something really embarrassing on there, like they're in line at a store or they're somewhere with someone important, and just, hey, whatever you wanted to say that could embarrass the crap out of them. That was, I loved the old Nextel phones.
So for the kids who don't know, it was a phone and also kind of like a walkie-talkie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, kind of like a walkie-talkie where you could just beep in and yell at your friends.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's awesome. Great.
Cardinal asks in the YouTube chat, hey guys, what unique or special sports event have you attended? He says, in 2014, I was on business in Los Angeles, took in a Dodgers game. Clayton Kershaw pitched a no-no.
Pretty Jeez. Cool.
Dang. It's
pretty
That's
cool.
a pretty cool one. Random. I mean, because of my previous life as a television guy, I ended up covering about everything you could cover from a national sports perspective. So I don't think there's... I'll tell you one that was... You'd probably go, wait, you covered that? That was pretty cool. Was Bay Hill, Arnold Palmer's tournament, when Arnold was still alive, was really cool. The Bay Hill Lodge is what they call it. Like, just the whole setup was very intimate. It was just a really cool track. It's not near the tournament that Jax is. I'm not saying that, but just it was just kind of a cool one, and I covered it once, and it was really cool. I enjoyed it. Tiger won the year I covered it, too.
There are two things I will always remember. One is the Stadium Series game last year. That was that's something that I will never forget. And then another one back in 2016, and this kind of goes into the importance of winning games for your team. We were at the Dad and I went up to the Browns 49ers game. I think the Browns hadn't had a win in 13 games, and it was Johnny Manziel's first win as a Cleveland Browns quarterback, and they beat the San Francisco 49ers. And that crowd, while sparse, it was awesome that day. I think we paid $6 to get in. That's why we went up. We're like, hey, it's cheap. Let's go to a Browns game. And it was just so, even though they had no hope for that season, they weren't going anywhere, and it was really bleak at the time for the team, it was just awesome. The fans getting a win, and everybody was just so happy that day because they got the monkey off their back.
This goes to our conversation about having a rooting interest in the NCAA tournament, because there, I think, is nothing more, almost nothing more fun in sport. In 2007, my dad, my brother, and I went to Rupp Arena at Lexington, Kentucky, and watched the national runner-up play Xavier in the second round of the NCAA tournament.
That's
following the Buckeyes would have been the trip of a lifetime back in 2007. But we got to see one of the games at Rupp Arena, and that was cool because the next game had Rick Pitino and Louisville. And he walks into Rupp Arena, and I think he's got a white suit on. That's like Satan entering church.
Boy, I say.
Yeah, the Rupp's pretty great.
Anytime you can get to Rupp, it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to Fog in like 3 weeks, and I look forward to comparing Fog versus Rupp to see that, because obviously very different scale on those two things.
By the way, I have a restaurant I've been told I have to tell you to go to while you're out there, so I'll get that to you before you leave.
Fantastic. We will get that done. Canada playing hockey right now, USA playing hockey later this afternoon, and Brian Windhorst with a pretty bold statement on LeBron James. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
This is a pretty interesting, get to the hockey in just a second, but this is a pretty interesting quote from Brian Windhorst. This was on ESPN Cleveland this morning. The quote from Windhorst: if he's able and willing and is willing to accept that money, I think it's 99% that LeBron James would return to the Cavs. I mean, that's, he doesn't say stuff like that lightly.
And does anybody know LeBron better than Windhorst?
Well, other than the inner sanctum, probably not, right? I just assumed he would play for the Lakers and play at a lesser discounted rate for the Lakers is what I kind of assumed. I suppose you could be a nice ribbon on the, there's no place that he would get adulation the way he would get it in Cleveland.
Tell you what, like, if they've got the option for James Harden, they'll have Donovan Mitchell. You bring LeBron back at a more extreme discount than what he would do in Los Angeles. Okay, we can maybe have that conversation. The East feels more gettable, especially next year.
Sure.
If you're getting Halliburton back for the Pacers, you don't know what that's going to look like. Tatum might even be back for the playoffs for the Celtics this season.
Yeah.
It's easier. It's going to be easier regardless than the West.
Yeah.
To get another ring. So maybe 99% is ambitious.
I would say that if he does that, if he does return to Cleveland and finish his career out there, it'd be a beautiful ribbon on really one of the more remarkable careers in the history of professional sports. But it would also, if he's seeking to be loved and the red carpet to be rolled out and rose petals to walk on, then I think Cleveland would do that on a retirement tour. I don't think LA would do that. Not from the fans. I'm sure ownership would try, and I'm sure ownership would do all of those things. But there's almost nothing he can do in Los Angeles to usurp Magic and Kobe.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
And I think he probably realized that a while ago. I mean, Luka might be more popular than him.
There's no question Luka's more popular than him right now. I don't think it's particularly close. I've had this conversation with friends of mine who are native Los Angelinos, and one of the consistent things is that LeBron he's popular, but it's not crazy popular. Like, he's not in the same league as Otani. He's not in the same league in Los Angeles. Like, he's not on that level of popular, and he's not in the same league of Magic and certainly Kobe, who are is Pantheon Lakers.
I was about to say, is there an athlete in Los Angeles that, because Magic and Kobe, I'll put in the same pantheon. Is there any other Los Angeles athlete ever? Los Angeles Ram? Dickerson?
What do you mean, that can be on that level?
That can be on that Los Angeles sports.
It would be a Dodger.
I was going to say Koufax, maybe.
It would be a Dodger.
Okay.
It would be, I mean, it could be a Laker. It might be Jerry West, honestly. It might be Jerry West on that pretty close to that level, because not only as a player, but also as an executive when he was the architect of the Lakers dynasty through the 80s.
I guess my point is, like, when people do say to LeBron, you'll never be, or have said about LeBron, he'll never be Kobe, he'll never be Magic. It's like, yeah, well, nobody can. Like, nobody in any sport in that city could be those two.
Probably probably Ohtani, if he can continue on.
That's what I was thinking.
If he can keep going, he's probably... You know, because there was a time when, like, Pete Carroll might have been the answer to that at USC. I mean, USC football had a stranglehold on that city for a while. I don't know that there's a Ram out there that has that type of punching power to him.
Would
Marcus Allen, maybe?
I know they had the Fernando Mania.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Fernando Venezuela was that long.
It was a short window. Yeah.
Earl Hershiser? Maybe
Hershiser
he pitched there for a long time, World Series.
Got the World Series in 88. Yeah. You know, Marcus Allen might be on that, you know, because he was mostly a Los Angeles Raider and he was a star at USC. But it's tough, to your point. Yeah, nobody. I don't even know from a LeBron perspective, I don't even know if he's on the level of like
he wasn't
Kareem.
Not there long enough.
No, I don't think so, and not enough winning. You know, I don't know if he's even, you know, he won the one title, but it was in the bubble, and I think that drives him nuts that's, you know, that one that's out there. So, that's pretty bold.
Could it be a manager? Could it be Pat Riley?
Lasorda.
Could it be Tommy Lasorda?
Tommy Lasorda. That's your guy. I think it's probably Lasorda, because Riley is almost now more known as a Heat. I think Lasorda is your guy, Bick. I think that's your guy. Like, if that would be my guess, that he would be, you know, Magic and Kobe on their own. And then I think Lasorda is probably, that's a pretty good job. It might very well be him. We are in the quarterfinal stage of the men's ice hockey at the Winter Olympics. And we got a bit of a shocker happening, still happening. Chechnya. It's the Czech Republic, right?
Correct.
That's what I say. I feel like if
so
I'm going to do
this,
an Chechnya? Update, the preferred nomenclature for the country.
So is that what it is? Is this?
I think
it's the Czech Republic, right?
I think what's the name of the country? Czech Republic is probably no more, right? Like it was probably
It was Czechoslovakia.
Yeah,
that was no more. But is the name of the country still that? It's not Czechoslovakia because that's gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're up 2-1 on Canada. Yeah.
This is a little surprising, especially Canada came out. Macklin Celebrini had a goal in the first 4 minutes of the game. And
I'll tell you, you start to grip that stick pretty tight when your team Canada down 2-1 after one.
So the Czech Republic adopted Czechia in 2016. I know I just botched that one because that's what I'm afraid of doing. In 2016, they adopted it as an official, shorter, more practical one-word name for international use. So this isn't 10 years old.
It just sounds very much like the former Russian territory, or maybe still Russian territory. Isn't there like Chechnya? Isn't that a country too?
It was at one time.
I think you had a nice delineation there. Who am I to tell the people what to call
for
themselves?
For the Olympic, do they reseed after the quarterfinals, Bick?
So they do.
Okay.
So it looks like... I mean, who knows with this game right now? I mean, I think Canada's still okay here. But because I think this morning, what was it?
Slovakia beat Germany 6-2.
And like if Germany would have won, that would have changed some things
in
the way it was going to be. But as of right now, it is not.
Okay.
Can you imagine being Draisaitl?
No.
Like playing on the team you play on in the NHL and like all the special teams that he plays for the Edmonton Oilers, then you go to Team Germany and you're like, dude, I'm on an island here, man. Like it's me.
Sure, there's great pride, but yeah, when you're getting to the quarterfinals and you're seeing your contemporaries in the National Hockey League, and they're just they're buddied together like Canada, looking at the Canada roster, and you're like, how is this fair?
Yeah.
Like, if if you split Canada's roster, had a Canada A, Canada B, that'd be your gold medal game. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, U.S. would have something to say about that, I believe. By the way, the first goal in this game for Czechia, I don't know how many people remember, Lucas Sedlak, former Blue Jacket, he scored the first goal of the game here for them.
Well, there you go. So we play Sweden this afternoon at 3:10, and then around in about 30 minutes, Finland plays Switzerland. So here's the long and short of it in regard to the reseeding. The United States and Canada, provided they both keep winning, will not play until the gold medal. So that's what the reseeding gets you, is it gets you the guarantee, because Canada's the one, we're the two, that there's no scenario where when they play, it will only be for the gold medal. And that's at 8:10 a.m. Sunday morning. Do we have that
right? Did they give a time already? I did not see. Because they were kind of debating if it would be Saturday or Sunday.
I thought, it's 8:10 a.m. It's locked in. Gold medal game, 8:10 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah, bronze is 2:40 Saturday afternoon.
Well, and then the semifinals are Friday during our show, the first one, 10:40, and then the second one is 3:10. So that's your Friday schedule.
Hell yeah, morning hockey.
You're going to have a very distracted bake at the call-in show Sunday morning, that's for sure.
It's all right.
Just maybe even a distracted bake. Me on Friday during our show.
I was about to say, Sunday's fine. As long as you're not running the board, you could, you know, maybe have a pop or two. A patriotic pop.
It'll be very interesting to see which slot, provided we get by Sweden today, which I'm guessing will be a full day because they're usually pretty good. But if we do get by Sweden today, does the United States get the 10:40 slot or the 3:10 slot? Because the Olympic, like the television partners would want the 3:10. The U.S. television partners, NBC, would want the 3:10 slot.
Yeah. So I wonder if it depends on the other team, too. Like, which game might be better?
It'll just be your television partners who has the most power. I think they're just, you know, my hunch is USA would be 3:10 and Canada would be 10:40. That's what they did today. I bet you they stay on that schedule.
Canada's going to watch regardless of the time.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter where you put that.
Yeah. They're watching all of it. Get your officially endorsed in three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State football. Impact Report.
Another area that Ohio State had to address as far as getting signings in was special teams. Getting kicker Connor Hawkins and long snapper Dalton Riggs was an important topic for head coach Ryan Day.
Connor is somebody that, you know, we felt like, you know, he has 3 years left, did a nice job at Baylor last year, came highly recommended from those who live in the kicking world. And then Dalton Riggs, we felt like was the best you know, long snapper in the country. I think his kickers are like, you know, over 90%. In terms of the way he snaps the ball, very accurate. You know, like when you kind of study how that works, you know, the whole idea of the snap and the hold, they call it no laces. You know, he gets so good that when he snaps it with the perfect rotation, all the holder has to do is catch it and put the ball down. He doesn't have to turn the laces because of how good they get and how exact they get. And he's very, very good.
This report brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. This is Paul Keels on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Flight Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Flight Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the best-selling Camry. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Camry. Or lease a new Camry LE for just $279 a month for 39 months with $3,699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Looking for TR.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
Talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what do you have in the poll today?
Daily Fan poll asks, who will be harder to replace on Ohio State's defense next season, Caleb Downs or Caden McDonald? 82% say Caleb Downs.
I love Caden McDonald. I mean, but the one guy's a cheat code. I mean, like, we use the word. I don't know if Caleb Downs will be a generational NFL player. Generational gets thrown on way too often. He was a generational college football player. And he was one of those guys that as soon as you saw the All-22 and you saw everything that he did and that he was always in the right place, it was such an attention getter. So I assume that translates to the NFL, but as a college player, he is generational.
We'll have this conversation clear until April 24th, maybe, mm-hmm. but Caleb Downs, a top five NFL draft pick. Is that insane because he's a safety?
To me, it wouldn't be.
Same.
To me, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, we've talked about this a couple times while you were gone. Like, I don't know why the Jets wouldn't take him at two, quite frankly. If he's the best player, go grab him. You have all kinds of needs. I think it's Caleb as well, and that's no offense to Caden McDonald. I think they've done a good job in the portal of trying to replace both. Mm-hmm. But I think between John Walker and James Smith and Edrick Houston, you've got a better chance of replacing the production of Caden McDonald than Caleb Downs.
I don't think there's replacing him. I just don't. All right, it's First Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Yeah, and you know, I thought I'd get into the spirit of the Olympics with this one happening over in Italy. And one of the drinks you hear about in Italy a lot is the Negroni, which is a lovely summer drink that is made primarily with Campari and vermouth and a little bit of gin. I'm going to go the winter Negroni in homage to the Olympics, and that's what we call the Bulvadere cocktail. So what you need here is just three things. It's 1 ounce of bourbon, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, and 1 ounce of Campari. You can garnish it with an orange twist if you like. It's a delight. First one I had was in New Orleans years ago. They're good. And if you want to get into the spirit of things, it's kind of the perfect USA-Italy mix. And it'll work for your First Friday. Three things. Hit it, fellas.
Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me, it's official. Desert golf is the best golf. The ball just rolls forever. And if you struggle, you're going to score. You're just going to score in big ways. I had NBC hitting drives 275 yards, for crying out loud. You just get a little roll, and away it goes. Beamsy was driving at 190. I mean, it was a scene, man. They had a blast. It's so much fun. Weather was perfect. We played every day we were out there. And it's just, if you haven't had the opportunity, if you only played here, if you go to the South, desert golf, the ball just rolls for you, man. And you just have as much fun as you can have, especially if you're someone who normally struggles.
Olympic men's hockey quarterfinal going on right now is about halfway through the second period. Czechia leads Canada 2-1. Sidney Crosby has left Team Canada's bench and is headed back to the locker room. This from friend of the program, Greg Wyshynski. They're never going back to the Olympics now.
Greg.
Every fan base's worst nightmare realized for the Penguins.
And they're having a great season, too.
Yeah, that would that might put a damper on everything. Of course, the Los Angeles Kings have already lost Kevin Fiala due to a leg injury in this tournament for the rest of the season, and we know they were going all in with Artemi Panarin. One of our Hey Guys questions about a piece of technology from the old days that you would have like to have back. We just had this conversation last week, and I know it's because the demand isn't there, but I would love to go back to an old school car, like just super basic. I don't need all the safety features, stuff telling me there's somebody next to me and all of that, backup cameras. Just give me some roll down windows, some basic air conditioning, and an old school radio where you can turn the dial, maybe a stick shift in there too. Like, I think there would be a market for that.
Well, Bake, you are aware you can buy old cars.
Yeah, I mean, but they're available. Make some new ones like that.
You could, you can. There's a company up in Dublin called, I think it's called Classic Ford Bronco. You get a 1960s Bronco, except it's all brand new. It'll cost you about $300,000. But that's all you need, Bake. You're safe. Number two for me, listen, it's you don't realize it till you go out there. West Coast sports viewing is so damn elite. To be able to have sports 9 a.m. on a Saturday of college basketball, having a cup of coffee and you got games going. I mean, the NFL, the college football would be so elite to just wake up and watch great stuff. It would be, it's really, they've got a big advantage there.
I'll second that. And, but I wasn't sure if I was going to admit this to you as you return from your vacation, but this past Friday on the program, the general was in with me. And
yes,
the three of us had the head coach of the Miami Redhawks on, Travis Steele.
Nice.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
I am rooting for Miami of Ohio in every game but two this season. He's a friend of the program. If and likely when they go 31-0, you would love to have a conversation with him on the air.
Oh, that'd be great.
We got to have him back.
That's a great job. And let's save that where he is. Where Reese just said, I'm a fan of the Miami Redhawks.
Look, just there's some things that don't ever need to see the light of day again.
Coach Steele was awesome. He was really good. Second thing for me, a lot of hockey going on. We've talked about at the Olympics. The college hockey continued over this past weekend. And while it wasn't a great weekend for Blue Jackets defenseman Jackson Smith in the win-loss column, he did in their shootout loss to that team up north this weekend score two goals in that game. That gives him 10 now for the season and makes him the all-time leading scorer and defenseman scoring goals in a season for Penn State. So congratulations to Jackson Smith. He's having a great year for Penn State.
In the collective third from all of us, go America this afternoon. Let's
USA number one.
Let's go. Let's handle our business. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Enjoy your first Friday. Make sure you act accordingly. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call